Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Plan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame and never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they
the big
say a picture's worth a thousand words, so when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right, welcome once again to another Monday night edition of The Big Picture, coming to you on the Panther Party Radio Network. And as you know, I am Elvis Siri Jr. every Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me, who may be listening online, who may choose to call in and listen and be part of the show. But nonetheless, all of you who tune in overseas, the Philippines, India, Israel, Germany, Nigeria, I see you. Canada, I see you. I appreciate you. Thank you one and all. Want to thank my listening family on ActivateMedia.org, Activate Radio, out of Boston, Mass, who plays it back on Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. If you miss it on Mondays live, you can always catch the playback on ActivateMedia.org. And want to thank once again my brother Patrick for bringing me on board and allowing my podcast to be part of the Activate Radio family. If you are listening online, would like to be part of tonight's dialogue, I've got quite a subject as usual. You know, I'm gonna come with something that's going to raise an eyebrow or make somebody call in here and cuss me out one day, probably. I don't know. But definitely, either way, I'm going to get your attention, and that's what the job is, to raise an eyebrow, get your attention, get your feedback, get you involved, get you more ready to do what needs to be done. And I think that we all have to get ready in that aspect, especially in the environment that we're in. And like I've been saying lately, you know, there's more power in the people than there is people in power. Like I say, I read that a few, I don't know, years back, maybe 3-4 years back. It was a meme, and that just kind of stuck with me because, yeah, if you think about that statement, it makes sense, because there is more power in the people than there is people in power. And I think if we kind of let that sink in and relate to that, we can truly change some things. What I was getting ready to do before I went into that was give the call-in number, which is 914-20. And also, I'm still trying to make contact, but I told you I was going to have the information for the GoFundMe for young brother Rakim Balogun that I had on here a couple of times a few months back. But if you would like to donate to, the brother's GoFundMe, it is free. Rakim Balogun, and that is R-A-K-E-M. Rakim Balogun, B-A-L-O-G-U-N. And if you go to GoFundMe and type in free Rakim Balogun, that will take you to that page, and you can donate as you will. Like I told y'all last week, you know, I just was really getting to know the brother, and once again, he's, going through the struggles of this system, which kind of leads me to the title and subject of this show and what I want to kind of get into on tonight's edition, the execution of, the young brother in Grand Rapids, Patrick Lioia. Okay, let me get that right. Who I think everybody's heard about now. And then my question and really my, thoughts on why are our black men, young black men and boys expendable in this country. Kind of want to touch on that and get some thoughts, opinions. But as you know, and I'm not going to try to take up, I'm not going to do it tonight, because I've got callers on the board already, so I'm going to really try to keep my opening commentary to only 20 minutes. And then I want to try to give people an opportunity to voice their opinions and, just being able to interject, and I know sometimes I can get long-winded and have had occasion to talk for an hour and 45 minutes, but I'm not going to do that I'm going to keep it short. It's 10 minutes after right now, so at 7:30, I'm going to have my little old 2 cents in the bucket so I can open my ear up and listen, as opposed to talking for the whole hour. But I'm sure that most of you by now have heard about the situation that's taking place in Grand Rapids with the young brother from the Congos, you know, fled the Congos, his family did, in order, because of violence that was happening there, and coming here to this so-called better place. And I've been saying over the last few weeks how this country ain't no better. This country ain't never been no better, and no great country, and keep it great. It ain't never been great. I've been saying that. Anyway, yeah, this brother and his family end up here to fleeing violence only to run right into it head on with one of these racist, you know, executioners. And that's what we witnessed, an execution, you know, and that just really seems to be the going thing. And what I'm really not surprised by is the fact that they can always seem to tuck and hide these officers who do these executions, and then they will investigate themselves while deciding whether they are going to pursue charges against the officer. The whole time, if you or I commit a crime like that, in that fashion, because my whole thing is, after seeing the whole film from the passenger that was in the car with him, is the position and the advantage that the officer had upon this young man. First of all, having him face down, and not only face down in the ground, having his whole body weight on top of him, being able to shift and control like he was doing. And we all saw how he was shifting and controlling. And what I mean by that is being able to shift and maneuver and control enough to be able to unsnap the gun holster, reach back down and you know, reach and then grab the gun, unholster it, and aim the gun directly in the back of his head and fire off a shot. That is what I mean by that. And that is what that officer did. He maneuvered and controlled that whole time. Even if that boy had his taser, if that young brother had his taser, the taser is not lethal. And then I heard a reporter say that in order, and I had to, you know, Google to check and see, and some police departments do require that if you are going to carry a taser, that you be tased by it. So I guess that if that, you know, and you know, it may happen, the taser is taken from you as an officer, you can withstand it. But long story short, not all, like I say, from what I read, not all police departments require it, but some do. Besides the point, he maneuvered and trolled the whole time on this young man and was able to pull, like I say, unsnap his weapon, then unholster it, then still maintain maneuver and control and fire off a shot, a fatal shot. And then you see from the passenger's vantage and camera. The officer is then in that feared, old panic, get back state where he can pursue the I was scared for my life argument, which anybody that watched that film is knows that's bullshit. I'm just going to be real. I'm sorry. There may be language if you got kids listening. My beep machine is not working tonight. I will not be able to beep out, but I'm going to keep it to a minimum to get my point across. But there was no fear in that officer's actions nor his voice until after the fact that he had killed that young man. And then you could hear that, oh, I better get my act on, get my qualified immunity persona going right now. You know, let me play the victim. I fear for my life card right now. You know, getting it ready like they doing, like I say, trying their best to spin a new, another narrative to what we saw. Just another instant where an innocent life taken, you know, for a routine doggone traffic stop. And now we have his whole generation that could have been and would have been now just gone. You know, I talked about how every time they take one of our young men, young women, that's just, you know, generations to come that are now non-existent. You know, just that one loss of life cost us that. And we got to start looking at it like that, how detrimental it really is to our futures. And, you know, why is it that we're the only ones that that happens to? Now, I want to bring to your attention a story that I just happened to run across, and I don't have the actual date that it happened, but I did go back and dig up the little article just to get the basic information. I didn't really spend a whole lot of time with it because, to me, it's just, you know, one of those cases that we already know how that, you know, cake is going to bake because of the fact of that complexion for the protection. But this white male, whose name was Matthew Lands, who was actually wanted for murder, and it happened in Georgia, but he was committing a burglary, and the police were called, and they, you know, caught him in the commission of the burglary and begged him to surrender. Now, this is not anything out of the norm, not anything that we haven't been, you know, haven't been put in our face before. You know, how they can, you know, take them to Burger King and feed them after slaughtering 9 people in a church. You know, so this is really nothing new. But this white male, Matthew Lands, as I was saying, who was actually wanted for murder, was caught in the commission of a burglary, begged to surrender. And so he came out of the room that he was barricaded in and went towards one of the cops and started stabbing the cop, and stabbed the cop multiple times in the neck and in the back. And the other cops never thought to pull their service weapon and shoot this guy that was actually stabbing a cop in the neck and the back. I said multiple times, too, just in case you didn't catch that. So that means that he's having to rear back with a knife in order to stab this cop multiple times in the neck and back before they decide to rush him and fight with him. And I said, too, yeah, he's wanted for murder, in case you missed that. So anyway, you know, they wrestled with him, and he wrestled with them pretty good because they started wrestling in the house. And wouldn't you know, they wrestle all the way outside. And then a cop decides to pull his service weapon and fire a shot and struck him in the leg. In the leg. Yeah, after stabbing a cop in the neck and the back several times, yeah, I just want y'all to not miss any of that, okay? But he lived, and he'll get his day in court. Now, this young brother, Patrick Lyoya, was pulled over because of his registration, his tag, his license plate, or whatever the case be. No reason to die. And I'm going to say something else on that, too. You know, if something or somebody is running towards you, that's a threat. Okay, so, yeah, I can understand you becoming aggressive or defensive, but if something or somebody is running the hell away from you, it's not a threat to you at all. That's not a threat. That's somebody trying to live, and especially in this atmosphere, being a melanated person, male or female, you're not exempt. You know, let's just remember Emmett Till, who they murdered, who was only 14. Look, not Tamir Rice, 12. The one that everybody saw took only about 1.5 seconds for this cop to pull up and shoot a 12-year-old boy in the, and not even being a Harry on those radios that they have on their shoulder, to being a Harry to call for radio for backup, bring your black gloves. You know, that's just one of them old codes they use for it's a black man. And, yeah, we finna work him over because they put them gloves on when they get ready to put them hands on. Pay attention to how they move and escalate situations with certain people. And see, everybody thought that we were lying about things. But, oh, thank you, know, the invent of social media and camera phones and all that we have now that really brings it to the forefront, like we already as brothers and sisters already knew and understood and was just trying to tell the world what it was. But when you don't go through it, you don't really believe that it happened, you know, the way it does. But now you see with your own eyes, and some of you even being able to see with your own eyes still try to deny it. You know, I'm just kind of wondering, you know, just some high points of how it happens so regularly. And like I say, it doesn't matter the age. I mean, from 8 to 80, it doesn't matter. You know, and then there's a history of demasculating the black man and wanting to control the black man, buck breaking, you know, that was done back in the days of white total control, physically as well as mentally. You know, the things that were done to keep black men in a mind space of, you know, not being able to be a full man because he's not really able to be in full control of himself. And not only did the black man suffer from that, the black woman did too, but the black woman being able to be more easily controlled, well, the white men, especially being as animalistic and sadistic, heathenistic as they were in those times, not trying to characterize anybody that I know now per se, but, you know, don't be mad because I'm telling the truth about how your people were. Y'all always told the lies to have people form opinions about us still to this day. So don't be mad about the truth I tell. Just swallow that and, you know, try to change your people. You know, we all can change, stand to change a little bit, but I mean, just the hate factor and always wanting to demean us as men and separate us from our true balance, which is the black woman. And I'm not going to get into that much, but that is what this system has worked so hard to do. And then by giving a little bit more to our women and taking more from our men, we have been as men, and especially as black men, tricked into feeling as if we are not worthy or we're not capable. Like my sister Kia, and I always bring this up, mentioned a few shows back, you know, it's not really that we're fearful. It's just that we may have that mindset of defeatedness and being defeated and not getting started because why? We ain't going to win. We can't win, you know, so why even try? And that resonated with me and it made sense to me. And then the way we see our young men, our boys, our elderly men, our any black male, the way we are treated as a whole collectively in this society, and only not just only here in America does this take place, you know. And this is why I say, you know, just read and do a little research so that you can get an understanding of it's not just here. And this is why it should be alarming. This is why we need to be talking about this and why is it happening and what can we do to fix this. And this is why I say it's important that we rebuild our families and make sure that they are structured correct and make sure that everyone plays their position, their role, and that we make sure that these that we make the proper sacrifices that keep the family functioning, because let me go on and say it, we need each other. And now more than ever, and as the clock keeps ticking and time keeps turning, we're going to have to lean on each other more and more and more. And we need to be focusing on, as the black man, providing the environment and the atmosphere where we can build and produce, and where the women can play their positions, and we can we can be beneficial, I'll say, to our children and give them the knowledge, and then allow them to see what a working family is, a functioning family is, you know, without all the outside interference. And we need that in order to rebuild the village, you know. And then, like, these young brothers who are being gunned down, we can police inside our own communities, where we can eliminate the need for these slave catchers to even be in our communities. And see, we need the black man standing behind the black woman, the black woman standing behind the black man. We all, as black men and black women, need to be standing behind our younger generation. You know, and as black men, yes, we need to be active with our children. Time is free. Time is free. Where this system has tried to, like I say, demasculate us and take us out of our positions, we just got to take our positions. And don't worry what they say. Take your position and stand on that, because we need to be there. Our youth need us just as much as they do their mothers. They need us even more. They need a more stern, guiding, disciplinary hand. And that's where we come in. And then we teach them together how to fight. See, because a man going to teach a kid how to fight, survive, fight. A woman is going to bring that balance that's needed. And that's why I say, you know, we both going to teach him how to fight, but it's going to be a difference in how that woman teaches that kid how to fight, you know. So that's why I say, you know, we need each other. Because we can stop the nonsense. We can stop this violence, you know, within our neighborhoods as well as the external factor that's killing us. And honestly, I'm more worried about the external factor that's killing us, because if we can stop the external interference, we can fix more about what's going on with us internal. And that's just my opinion and my thought on that. And that's why I say, yeah, we need it. I get tired of hearing people that look like me say that ain't the problem. What about black-on-black violence? We know that exists. I don't want to talk about that. Why ain't we worried about, you know, talking about that, fixing that external violence that's been plaguing us for 400 years, and if it wasn't for their interference, it wouldn't even be that much internal violence amongst us as it is now. That's because of everything they instilled in us. Internal violence even exists with us, within us, as it does now, because of what they pumped into our neighborhoods to make us compete as men for position. And we all know how it was back in the 80s when the crack game came into play, and that was easy money and position and power and a way to pay your bills and put food on the table. And I'm not going to go all into that. But we all know what that did, good and bad and ugly. But it wasn't our fault because we wasn't pumping it into the neighborhoods, but it was a way to of survival. And it took lives in the same manner that it does now. And it put communities and blocks against blocks, and still nobody owned the blocks, but was fighting and dying over the blocks. You know, just like today, things change. Don't nothing change but the time. But that's why I say we got to break that cycle. And now, like I say, I'm more worried about that external factor, because the internal factor is not as great as it was at the height of the crack game. And the black-on-black violence is not as big a problem as this media and outside influences would like us to think. We know we live it. And honestly, I can say that most areas that I go to are more deprived of opportunity and housing than it is danger from drugs and gangs nowadays. And the gangs is the cops nowadays. And that's how the drugs is getting into the hoods and the guns too, in most of these cities, by these no good, crooked, scary, need to be filling out application at UPS ass cops, because they ain't nothing but cowards. And the biggest gang on the blocks nowadays are these cops killing every black male they see. And then they try to, you know, because I'm not even believing the violence that's going on in Chicago is being perpetrated by all black, like they try to say. Not now that I know they sell them little rubber black suits that you know, can fit you and make you look just like somebody authentically black or white, you know, either one you want. But, yeah. That's why I really just don't believe that either. And how I have talked to people from those areas and heard even on documentaries how people say sometimes in alleys it's been just crates of guns that's been found. So how are they getting there? Ain't nobody black getting their hands on that many, on no crates of guns. So, you know, like I say, we got to pay closer attention. That's all. And then worry about working together more and stop being ashamed of what people have to say. And I was talking to my queen earlier, and just like I was saying, stop being ashamed of letting people shame us out of our position. Because it ain't nothing wrong with us putting us first, and it ain't nothing with you black woman putting your black man first. And black man, it ain't nothing wrong with you putting your black woman first. Like I say, we got to start learning how to work together immediately in order to make this nonsense and the hashtags and all that stop. So I told you I would, and I done went over anyway, doggone it. I'm sorry, but I'm going to take a quick break, and I see I got callers. Tonight, y'all, I'm just talking about the execution of Patrick Lyoya, the young man up in Michigan. And really, why are black men, young black men and our boys expendable in this country? And I've got a couple of more, I don't know, just, I mean, I threw out some names, you know, that we know, as far as Emmett Till, Tamir Rice, you know, just younger boys, and just, you know, the onslaught of, you know, names and hashtags that we have witnessed. And not only have they been, you know, just our young black men, it's been women and girls as well. I'm not being exclusive, but tonight I'm just focusing on the black male perspective, because we are definitely targeted, and especially those of us who are firm and alpha male men who ain't scared and who gonna say what need to be said. We're truly targeted, and these agendas to soften our men, you know, our boys, and how young it starts. You know, we're seeing a lot of that come into play now, and it's gonna be a lot of pay attention, and it's gonna be a lot of arguments on that subject in the upcoming months, because so many people brain dead that they gonna let this system just force that on children. You know, and that's why I say it's important for us to start working together too. I mean, ooh, y'all gotta start feeling me on that. So we can start building for real black men. Ooh, black men, it's time for us to start making the types of environments so we build and we working together so we can educate and give our kids the truth of the matter and give them real knowledge, usable knowledge, and take them out of them prison, the pipeline environments that they having to suffer through now, where you got uniformed cops walking around and all these police killings going on, just further instilling fear in our children at young ages, because they got cops on these school grounds, elementary school grounds as well. So, you know, that's why I say, come on, y'all. We got to do this, not for us, but for what our kids need to be productive. So, okay, I'm going to take a break with that. You're listening to the Panther Party Radio Network. I appreciate everyone is listening. The call-in number is 914-205-5538. And this is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I'll be right back after this quick break.
We pattern our lives today after a caveman and after a cave woman that just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe and walk around today with an attaché case smelling like Pierre Cardin and smelling like Uchi and Coochie and Gucci and all that other stuff. This is a caveman. He spent 2,000 years, she spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. I'm still talking about the goddamn white man. Spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of where? E-U-R-O-P-E. This man, Elijah Muhammad, and this man, Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that EU means caves and hillsides. Europe, Eureka, you've heard the term. EU means caves and hillsides. Roped is self-explanatory. They were roped or bound or confined within the caves and hills of Europe for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, this blue-eyed devil crawled around on his all fours. He ate his meat raw. They ate each other either. They ate dogs. They ate anything. They take tree limbs and bust an animal in the head or drop a rock or a boulder on the animal and bust the animal in the head. Blood everywhere, all in the mangy, diseased fur of the animal. Drag the to the cave, and the little baby devils, and the medium-sized devils, and the mama devil, and the daddy devil, and the uncle devil, and the auntie devil, and the cousin devil, and the grandma devil, and the grandpa devil, all of them within start biting on the nasty hair and fur of this dead, bloody animal lying right there in the cave. They didn't know anything about fire. Hell, when they first discovered fire, they damn near ran off the cliff. Gee whiz, gee manini, what is that? Really, they couldn't make any, they couldn't even talk in those days. How many of you saw the movie Quest for Fire? Hold your black hands up. If you saw Quest for Fire. In Quest for Fire, you saw... But they tell you, you were a savage. They want you to believe that you were a savage. They walked around all in ooga booga. They're the ones that put the lie on us. But they were the ones who go, sign language and all kind of stuff. You can always talk. There's never been a time when you couldn't talk, black man. And we know it ain't never been a time when you couldn't talk, black woman.
Sister got something to say. Because she's the first teacher. The children, the babies, they learn the language from her. They don't call it the father tongue. They call it the what? Why they call it the mother tongue instead of the other tongue? They call it the mother tongue because it is mother who fills them with the spirit of life. It is mother who inspires them, giving them inspiration and information that moves them along the course of life. And so they call it the mother tongue because the goddess is the one who breathes that life into them. Y'all still with me? We still talking about the goddamn white man.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask who yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you.
All right, welcome back, welcome back. I'm sorry I cut that short, but I didn't mean for that clip to start playing. But this is the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. I do have any callers who are online and would like to chime in. I've got something I want to kind of throw out there, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines if anybody is interested in making comments to anything, you know, you have to say, you know what I'm saying, the subject matter is, and you know how I do here. But just to kind of close out what I'm really wanting to spend tonight, and I do this quite a bit. My goal, I guess, is to connect with my brothers, you know, in order for things to function right, in order for things to work in their natural order. And, you know, in order for anything to be able to grow, it first needs the environment conducive to growth, the environment that will allow it to grow and grow in every aspect. Like a few weeks ago when I did the two-part series on weaponizing our children, and I talked about mentally, spiritually, and physically, and that's what we need our youth to do. They need to grow mentally, spiritually, and physically as well. And we as the man have to provide that environment, like I was saying earlier, the environment where the community is protected, where our women can be allowed, like Brother Khalid was saying in that video, to be the teacher, the nurturer, that one who will instill in them that means to love unconditionally. You know, the ones that will give them that softer side of the balance, that softer side of the scale that's needed. You know, a man doesn't have to be always hard. A man has to have an understanding side as well. I'm not going to say he has to have a feminine side, but I'm going to say that he needs to be able to be understanding of femininity. So, or we have to be able to provide that environment, provide that community, you know, and allow our women, I've said this before, to be women again and raise the children and instill in the children what needs to be instilled. And if that was happening within our communities collectively, and if these were the types of environments that we were providing within our communities collectively, we could change these conditions that we see. You know, we could stop this demasculization of our young boys. We could stop the slaughter of our young men and boys. We would have that proper balance within our communities. And that's all up to us black men to provide that environment, to work together, because everything is done on what we do as the black man. And mind you, yeah, I know it's hard because there's not a lot of just handouts for us. And there's always a pitfall for us. But it's one thing that I do know about us as black men. We don't quit. And we know how to make, even in the bad, we know how to make good. And even if it's not good, we know how to make a way. Our hustle game is stronger than most. Our ability, and especially when we work together as a unit, as we should, our ability to survive and provide, nobody can surpass it. Even when we have nothing to survive with, we still have survived. And that is through our ability and during our suffering, but still working together. And that's why I say we need each other more than we know, because we feed off of one another's energy and spirit and our body. You know, nobody's body does what our body does. And that's why we're so special for one another. It's just the point of connecting and then uplifting and building and those types of environments where we, like I say, can provide the things that we need. And not only that, like I say, we can stop these killings. I'm just tired of turning on the TV and, you know, looking at I look at my email sometimes. I'm not going to go on social media. And then I'm checking my emails, and there's another story. Dang, well, I didn't intend to see that, but here I am. So I'm clicking on it. And just so many instances where if we were truly doing what we needed to do, these things would stop. And then to taking back our identity. And like I was telling my queen earlier, we were talking, I was like just really going back to what we know and what our parents gave us, because those are going to be in the coming years, those are going to be the most necessary things, because this digital world and all that, this stuff that we're used to, I just don't feel like it's going to have that much more longevity. And a lot of the older things that we, people my age, I'm 52, so people, you know, my age that were used to, like, analog TVs, analog radios and stuff like that, you're going to have to learn that and be prepared to use that all over again. All this old technology and these old things that we're used to and that are man-made are never built to last, and even the analog stuff. But just things that you can do to survive without all of this technology that we have. And like I say, you know, learning how to coexist with one another, because we definitely have got to do better, and we've got to build more with each other. And that's why I've been saying, you know, first, so we can really start experiencing life again and living life and, you know, just, like I say, being able to truly teach our children something that's going to be beneficial and keep them humble. Thing that's going to teach them integrity and just give them things they can truly pass down, because rich is not always about money. Rich can be anything that you deem valuable, you know, and sometimes within these days, we equate rich with having things. And some, like I say, what you have does not always, and it, what you have doesn't equate your character. What you have doesn't equate your integrity, is what I'm trying to say, your morals, your values. It just, all that equates is what you can have. You know, and just because you have all of that financial riches doesn't make you a good person. You know, and like I say, that's where we get it twisted. We think all rich people nice and all rich people is for everybody. No, rich people have their own separate life outside of what you see on television screens, the facades that are put on. And that's why I say we got to really focus on what's going to work for us, what's going to make these hashtags. Why are we the only race that's targeted? And we know the answer to that question. There's really no reason to dwell on giving answers for something that's already known. You know, there is a such thing as superiority and inferiority. And now that, you know, the tables are truly turning, we're understanding who the true inferior race was. It's being exposed by the truth that's being told daily now. You know, it's so many things that are being uncovered. You know, and that's why I say, why are we still so against working together? Why are we so against building together, staying together? And I keep saying this too, and like the Great Migration to the North, South, North, Midwest, West, we can migrate right back to where we're, you know, begin here in this, you know, godforsaken place called America, but become more centralized. And like I say, most off for our safety, just to be real. And then, not only for that, if we do centralize ourselves in that fashion, it gives us some sort of power, some sort of control, which is what we really need. You know, and take advantage of what we have as far as our numbers and stop waiting on what, you know, we're not going to get from this system and just start doing it for ourselves once and for all. You know, this system ain't going to give us nothing. Ain't nobody on our team. We got to start being teammates and coaches and all that, you know, for one another. Only way that we're going to get ahead is by being just that, more or less, to sum it up, supportive of one another. You know, early Saturday morning at the barbershop, and brother's like, yeah, we too jealous for all that right there. That's what hold us back. And that, yeah, if you think about it, because, yeah, we was like, we hate to see one another doing good. You know, and then we complain about everything that's bad, but we ain't trying to do nothing to change what's bad. You know, that's what's confusing to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Anyway, that's why our condition doesn't change, because we not working together to change it. Like I say, we are not, you know, doing what we need to do. And then my brothers, you know, so many things that we could be doing. And I'm not throwing all black men under the bus, because I know there's several black men. I know several black men who are, you know, bending over backwards right now for real change. But it's hard to do when you have a whole system that they can use to distract people immediately and take a whole, you know, month and a half or a few weeks worth of work and, yeah, throw one distraction out there and sidetrack everything. And that's why I say we got to disconnect. That's another thing that I've said. And like I say, I'm not faulting all black men, but yet and still we got to be able to put our egos to the side and be able to work together. And that's why I say it makes no difference what your affiliation is. That ain't really what it's about, you know. And even me, I don't, it's not about me. I just do a lot of talking about it. I don't really want no likes. I don't really want no kudos. I'm humble enough to accept them, but I'm not arrogant enough to let them make me conceited and throw me off track, because I'm here to do a job, and what I'm put here to do is not even about me, and it's not even about what I want to do. It's what I'm guided to do. And see, a lot of us too have to be able to put you aside and do what needs to be done for the greater good of more than just you. That selfish spirit that we sometimes allow to take over and make us think only about one person, and that one person is who we see in the mirror. We got to get over that and past that, and then be more willing to help somebody else up the stairs, like I'm sure somebody, like what I'm saying is this: when we learn something, when we gain something, instead of being so selfish with it and keeping it just to ourselves, be willing to share that knowledge and that wealth. Stop being so, don't worry about the competition. You do it your way, let somebody else do it their way, and let's all be able to get a pie. The more of us that's getting a piece of the pie, the better off all of us are. This is what we don't see, and then a lot of us be on the outside looking in, mad because somebody else is doing something you could do, but you too busy being mad. You spending your energy being mad, when if you spend more energy trying to do what they did instead of spending most of your energy being mad. Long story short, you all know where I'm going with it. Yeah, so that's my whole get up with that, because sometimes we hating on the wrong person. We, instead of, like I say, doing what we need to do to get on top, we hate on a person and hate ourselves from getting on top. Anyway, I'm going to open up phone line. I see I do have a listener who wants to chime in here. I've been running my mouth so much I wasn't even paying attention to the board. My bad. I'm sorry. But, yeah, mic is open now, caller. And thanks for calling in.
Well, yes. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you can hear me. I just wanted to say thank you, first and foremost, for your, you know, willingness to just bring these things to the forefront. It's just so vital and important in, you know, the black communities. I really wish that there was more togetherness and, you know, this divide has, of course, stemmed from slavery. And here we are, you know, fast forward to today. We still kind of in that mindset, and, it is past time to, you know, put all that stuff aside and bridge that gap and reconnect so that, you know, we can build our communities up and we can help one another. As you said, you know, we need each other. And if we just all collectively come together to help each other, then we can be on top. And, you know, the divide that has been caused, you know, we blaming each other and pointing the finger at each other, and we know who the real culprit is, you know,
right.
But it's time to do away with all of that and come together as black men and black women, and like you said, you know, educate our children so that, you know, when we're gone, you know, they can continue on in our legacies and in, you know, our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and ancestors' legacies and, you know, show our solidarity together and stop all this other nonsense, because that's why, you know, we are targeted by the other races, because they see that we are not working together.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
If we can stop all that, yeah, if we can stop all that, I'm telling you, we can be such a powerful force in this world. We really could.
I agree. That was a good point too, Queen. That is what I always really try to express, is how our inability to work together allows them to control us easier, you know, because they know that, you know, for the most part that, you know, we're not going to work together. And like when these incidents happen, like this execution with this young brother, you know, and that's really what this was. There's really no reason to waste time our taxpayers' money on you know, proceedings. But yet and still, you know, we go through this situation after situation after situation. And, yeah, this system knows that, you know, well, they're going to come together, but they're not going to stay together on this. You know, give them a couple of months, they'll go back to doing what they were doing. And they're, you know, exactly right, unfortunately. And that's what happens, you know. And that's, that too is not even them controlling us. It's just how we have learned to deal with things. And that's just how we do deal with it. You know, as opposed to us staying together and consistently confronting this system about it, where they'll get tired of us confronting and the confrontations and the demonstrations, which like I say, the demonstrations are good in the beginning, but then after that, you still have to have a plan of action and a plan of attack as well, because you have to still keep it in their face, you know. And then too, that's why I say it's you know, crucial that we stay together on these matters collectively, and we have to regather ourselves, because as a people, we're the ones that's suffering these losses. You know, so in order for them to stop, we're going to have to keep, like I say, not just protesting them, but start really fighting the power. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying that to be, you know, funny, but seriously, it's time that we truly fight the power.
Exactly. And we certainly are not out trying to promote any type of violence.
Exactly. And I'm not saying go get violent, but what I'm saying is in a fashion that our ancestors fought, which was an organized fashion, you know, which was in a unified fashion, you know, out of a fashion of necessity, because they understood how much they needed each other back then, as opposed to how we just disregard each other now, you know, and then we do. We disregard each other for the most part, because if we really were cared about one another, you know, the way we should, these killings would stop. You know, they would not have been going on as long as they have at such a consistent rate, you know, if we were, you know, with our foot in their neck and back and everything else like it's supposed to be. I got another caller.
All right. Well,
I appreciate you chiming in. You can, you can stay on. I'm not going to put you back on mute. I generally just ask you, you know, when someone's speaking, just to, you know, respect their time, and then, you know, when some if you do have something going on in the background, just mute your phone. That way, you know, we can hear others. But yeah, feel free to chime back in after other speakers speak if you have something else to say. Like I say, I just generally leave them open once they're open.
Thank you so much, King.
Oh yes, Queen, no problem. All right, 3736. I'm opening your mic. I think it should be open.
All right, greetings.
Can you hear me?
Can you all hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, no problem, no problem. Just a
Sister Queenie.
Thank you, Brother Melvin, King. As indeed, we're very proud of you. Just to spin off of what you all were saying about, you know, our community and everything. Today, I had joined in on a live earlier today. I'm gonna make it real short. And so we were talking about the same exact thing that you're talking about right now. I mean the exact same thing. The conversation had blew that away. Well, we, because the brother and the sisters was pointing fingers at each other. It's the black man's fault. It's the black woman's fault. Blah, 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 blah. So I got in the queue. So when she opened up my mic and everything, and I said, yo, you know, we need to stop pointing fingers at each other. And, you know, we need to find a solution to our problems. And we already know who the instigators are and what they have done to break down our communities. And also, we have people dressing up in these suits and coming into our communities and, you know, messing up. I don't know if I said that part, but I think I did. But either way it goes, we got past, we was able to get past of the finger pointing. And so I said, we all know the problem, but what is the solution? As soon as we started to speak on a solution, an inorganic one, one of another race, if you would, she let him come in. When she did that, it broke up the whole monotony. It broke up everything. And the comments in the comment section started saying, oh, well, it was another young man on, and myself, another young man, was in the crew, and we was all talking. And so he had got quiet, and he was listening. And then in the comments it says, oh, mouth is on now, so nobody won't know. He doesn't want to say anything. And they kept saying, yeah, Master in, so Master can talk now. Master, everybody going to listen to Master now. I was like, oh, my goodness. This man just interrupted the entire conversation when we got ready to talk about the solution to heal our community and everything. So I said, okay, then. I said, excuse me. So it was a bad relationship. So anyway, when the man was talking, I said, excuse me, sir. Because when he first came on, he said, well, I'm not going to make this about race. And then he started talking about his wife and everything and everything. And it didn't have anything to do with the pain and the suffering that our people have gone through with what the African male, I mean, the black male and the black female of America is going through. So I started to get real perturbed with this. And I said, no, I need to say something. So I said, excuse me, sir. I said, what color are you? I mean, or what is your race? And he was like, well, I'm white. I said, well, no real disrespect. I said, but this is our conversation. I said, and we're tired of you all coming in on a conversation, I said, when it has nothing to do with you. I said, we're getting ready to come up with solutions. And one brother had already gave a solution. We were getting ready to say something else. And now here you are in our conversation. I said, you just messed up everything. You just distracted everything. I mean, literally put a monkey wrench in it. And I'm saying, so someone on the comments said, we need our own platform. We need to be able to talk and, you know, to keep this out. And so the lady who was the host, the other African man that was on, when I'm saying black African, I'm talking about us in America. He was on there, and he was like, yes. He said, because I said, we need to keep the door closed so that we and not allow these people in. I said, we don't go jumping in Japanese business. We don't go jumping in Asian business, whatever. I said, but every time we get ready to start trying to solve problems and everything, we got to have somebody of this other race come in and try to direct us or throw us off or something like that. So everyone was in agreement except for one brother. He was a coon. I'm just going to call it like it is because we didn't really know where he was coming from, talking about we all can talk about this, we all can come together. And the other brother replied, no, we cannot. No, we cannot. That's the problem. That is the problem. So with that being said, what happened was when the man got off the phone, it was almost an hour, and we still never got on back on the right track. Everyone was so distracted and mixed up because this man had interceded in our conversation, and it messed the whole flow up. And Amaris, which is the black guy, he actually said it. He said, this man just really messed up everything. The flow that we had going, the camaraderie that we would know, everyone was together and flowing in the right direction. We're getting ready to talk about a solution. And here he comes. And you shouldn't have opened up that door. You shouldn't have let him in there like that. And I'm saying, you know what? Can't do this anymore. And I said, we're not trying to be rude. We're not trying to be this and that. And I started, and I caught myself. And I said, you know what? I'm not about to be apologetic anymore to saying this. The truth is the truth. We do not have to do this anymore. We need to stand for our own people. And I said, we know the problem. We need to come up with the solution. And so with that being said, that was just to say that we're on the same page when we're talking about this, but we need to find a solution to what's going on in our community, you know, so we can move forward. We all know what the problems are, but what is our solution to the problem? And this was the question I had just posed before we was brutally interrupted by this man. And I said, everybody, let's just, you know, let's come up with something, you know, one solution at least before we get off of this lock today. So I'm saying the same thing now. We need to come up with something, one solution, or to start moving. What we're thinking in our minds, because our thoughts are very powerful. And if we all think together, think in our minds that we're coming together, then we will start coming together. I mean, really put that in our minds that, okay, we're focusing on, we're coming together, we get, and we're building. And we agree that, okay, one thing we need to definitely agree about is to keep those others out of our business. Now, we got to do something, with their court system and everything, and they have to be used, that's another aspect. But when we're talking about a killing in our community, and just like I told them, y'all, there's a time and place for everything. But right now, we need a solution to this problem. And, I mean, this is the conversation was almost identical with that, the interruption of the Western College. But this is what I guess everyone is on the same page, and we were coming up with a solution to what we need to do to build our community so our children will have a foundation to grow from. So I just wanted to share that story today and just reiterate and just support what the sister was saying earlier about us just coming together and building and moving forward from here. So yeah, that's about it. So solutions now.
I'm sorry about that. that was my fault. I kind of wanted to throw a question out there. I'm going to start with you. Tamisha, Queen, and then Sister Queenie, I want you to give me your thoughts, but just to kind of go back to my initial subject, what is it? I mean, because I've got my own opinions, but I just kind of want to get both of you all's take and answer thoughts, opinions about really my initial topic, back to what I was initially talking about, and I just want to ask both of y'all this question and allow both of y'all to answer it. Why is it that you think that, in your thoughts and opinions, Sister Tamisha, that our young black men and boys even are expendable in this country? Sister Tamisha, I'll give you a chance, and then Sister Queenie, when she's done, I would like to get your take on that.
Brother Mel, that's an excellent question. And I don't know. I mean, honestly, it's that's a tough one. It is.
And I mean, it doesn't have to be elaborate, but doesn't have to be drawn out, but just, why is it that, you think they remain, so focused on destroying our young boys as well as, young men, and never lost its focus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it never seems to, you know, remove that target from our backs, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. And I don't know. In my honest opinion, and you know, I could be wrong, but it seems like the younger generation, you know, they seem to be a little more easily influenced. You know, of course, we know social media has played, you know, a part in some of what's taking place in this world today. And not to, you know, put the total blame on that, but, you know, they just have come of the mindset to, you know, they see everything that's happening right before their eyes, and they just, you know, I don't give a dang attitude. So why should we, you know, try to stand up and fight for ourselves? Nobody else cares about us, so why should we care? Which, of course, we know that's not true. You know, us older generation, and we know that's not true, but that's what they've come to believe, that nobody cares. And so they just, you know, out here just like flying by the seat of their pants, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it. And
right.
It's really sad to see, because, you know, we try to instill in them that, no, there's so much more to life than what, you know, you see unfolding before your eyes. But, you know, you got to make it, you have to make what you want out of life. You can't expect, you know, the system per se to do it, or, you know, all these resources that are supposedly readily available. You can't expect to depend on that, on any of that stuff, because you just got to go out here and do it for yourself. So, you know, that's why I am trying to advocate to, you know, really change their mindset and really get them to come and understand that, no, you know, you can be such a strong, powerful force if you just, you know, not try to up the next person or trying to be, you know, better than this person, because that's just not, you know, a productive way of life to me. So that's the way I see it. But I'm hoping that, you know, we can change their mindset. I really do, because we're losing
right.
too many of them. Too many. And
right.
at such young ages.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Sister Queenie, your thoughts about, you know, why you think we're targeted as black men, you know, and especially, you know, our younger, you know, generation, because, I mean, I can even remember back to Central Part 5 and just how those young men were vilified, you know, and then ended up being innocent. But, you know, just the constant portrayal of, you know, the bad black boogeyman, you know, and why is it always us?
Well, the reason why is because a weaker vessel fears questrum. The biggest fear in the world is an educated, if you will, an informative, if you will, the strength of the male, of the black male. So he's the most feared and from all races. People tend to kill what they fear the most.
and they fear our men. Our men carry the seed of the nation. That male is strong and has the strength and is balanced. And when I mean by balance, he's balanced spiritually, not religion, but he's spiritually balanced. He's physically balanced. He's mentally balanced, psychologically balanced on all areas. He's something to contend with. Well, they strike the mighty down at the knees before the mighty rise up. And that's what's going on. That is what's going on. So they have to get to they have to weaken that vessel, or I guess I can use the word vessel. I guess it's okay to use. But they have to weaken our men in order for them to stay in control. Because there's nothing for our men to swipe them off. So what did they go after? They went after their mind. How did they go after their mind? They went after their mind through entertainment. They went after their mind through materialism. They went after their mind through breaking down their women. Because once you break the female down in a bad community, the man already. Because his strength is his female. His strength is the black woman. So they work tirelessly to drive a wedge between the black male and the black female. And they continue to do that. But the thing is, there's a new time. The time is at hand, and the truth is here. Our men are coming together, and we as a black woman, we're there. And we all have to realize that we're all targeted. But our black men, more so than anything, have been targeted. So thing has a reason for happening. But we have a lot of cowards out there. And those cowards, they're trying to break that brother off. They're trying to stop it in the womb is where they're trying to stop it. That's the form of genocide with the unnatural acts that has come along. So they have attacked his masculinity and demasculine him in so many ways, through the food, through the water, by any means necessary. These people have went to enormous measures to demasculate our men. I'm not going to even give them the power to say they succeeded, because we still have our strong men there. Now the thing is that we have to rise up with the men that we have out here. I mean, now, with the young boys who are looking at the men, they don't see the strength of the male, and I don't want to use alpha male. I saw the day, we need to stop saying this alpha beta male stuff, because they put that out there for us to start using, but we don't need to use that. We need to use the strength of, I'm just going to say, the strong male of the family. Our boys see that the men collectively have not joined together and stood up for what is right. All the men chasing money, chasing a dollar as well, rather than to continue to build their own platform and to build their own foundation to continue to strengthen their women. It's like you said, I think, I don't know who it was said, they felt like they was defeated, but they're not defeated. And the youth are seeing that, oh, well, nobody else is doing nothing. My dad may be strong, or my dad may not even be in the house. I'm talking about for the young men. They might not see their fathers there or whatever. And their moms may be doing all the work and keeping them going or whatever. So they're getting out in the street, and they're trying to become a man by themselves. So when you're trying to become a male, a man, a strong man by yourself, you go through obstacles and you go through the gangs and you go through this to build your manhood up or your, I don't know, what is the word to say itself, but that's what they're trying to do. And that the streets are teaching them, because men are in the church, men are working, you got a whole lot of men behind desks now and all this kind of stuff. Well, that's what they're seeing. And this is coming from the education system as well. Our family unit and our males, they dropped off by the wayside and allowed another people to teach his own children. That shouldn't have never happened. When we have the foundation of the churches and all those deacons and all these men that went to church every day and every, and while you up there talking, you should have been working and teaching these young children. And I tried to get it down here at our church that we grew up in Morning Chapel. I spoke numerous times and tried to get the males. I said, listen, you all need to get these young men together and continue to teach them. They need hands-on skills. They need woodshop. They need mechanics. Teach them how to change a tire. Teach them how to do this. It doesn't cost that much. But everyone got wrapped up in the, got tangled up in a web that these people wove. And they did not even realize that they was going, that they was just like a bait for the spider. So, you know, they was a fly flying into the net or whatever. They didn't even realize it. And before you look up, now all of our children are lost. And they were like, oh, well, the children don't want to listen to us now. The children don't want to do this now. No, let me tell you. Religion has really hurt us. When we had a place that we could go to have our own buildings, nobody cared about, only thing they talked about was hell and damnation. And believe it or not, that was the very place, that church was the very place to build a strong young male and to keep that foundation. But because we have been conditioned in the mind and because they have given us what they want us to preach and all this, white people felt or whoever it is felt comfortable enough to leave us there by ourselves, and because they knew we would perpetuate. If you went beyond that line, fear was instilled in the preacher man so much that the preacher was even afraid to come out of the box, to come out from around the fence when the gate was open, to teach our children, to hold on to our needs. So they have failed us tremendously. We did have a community. We did have a foundation. But the foundation was rocky. It was weak. So our children turned a deaf ear. They did not see the strength that was supposed to be there anymore. They didn't have any role models. Everybody just downed them and talked about them and everything. And I mean, you know, you're going to hell if you do this. You're going to hell. No. So now look where we are today, when we actually had a foundation that we could have continued to build. And those people don't want to go to church anymore. Even if we did change, we got to change that whole persona. We got to change all of that. We got to find a way to get these children back. We got to find a way to build again. We got to find a solution. Now that we know the problem, we know the solution. And we got to teach our children, our young males, to have inner strength and who they are and their worth. They don't know their worth anymore. And they don't know their worth because when they look out there, they don't see the worth in their fathers or their coaches or whomever. For example, I'm going to give you a real quick example, then I'm going to stop. My son, his coaches, there's a white coach at his high school. this man blatantly hates these children. And you can see it. He is very racist. And he is a white coach over all these black young black boys on the basketball team. He didn't care nothing about them. And all the parents could see it. But they still supported this man because this man was, quote, unquote, a coach. He had two black under him, a young black coach and then there was a kind of middle-aged older black coach. Now, the older coach was supposed to be the head coach. But they still danced to the tune of what the master said. When there was a little trouble, I, as a mother, stepped in. When I spoke to the black coach, no, after I talked to my son about it, I said, this man act like he's scared of this pink man. And my son replied, yes, mother, he is. He's afraid of him. Now then, can you imagine what that does to, what is it, 12 players on the team, and they see every day that a racist man over them, nobody's saying anything, nobody's stepping up to this man, and then their own black coach, they see the fear in his eyes when this white man says anything. And he knows this white man is wrong. But because of little money or whatever, you can't even stand up for a whole generation of young boys right there. What do you think that done to those young boys' mentality? What did it do? So we got grown men, or I wouldn't say grown or whatever, a men of age out here that shows fear from a white man. So you got these role models, if you will, I would call them role models, out here that sees this every day. So our black men need to step up to the plate and know, and a lot of them know that why they're targeting them, but they need to put down that fear. They need to let the flame rise up in them and say no more. And we're coming. We're here now, and we're not backing down. So that might come with a lot of psychological help. I do not know, but I'm like, we got to get out away from this. So I didn't mean to take up too much time, but I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Yeah, and we need to change the narrative, and that's all I'm going to say on that too. The narrative needs to change.
Yeah, it needs to change. That's right. It needs to change. It needs to change. We're tired. Tired now.
Appreciate you both chiming in. Take the last few minutes, and I'm going to close things out. I appreciate anybody and all of you who have listened online tonight. Once again, thank you for calling in, listening, chiming in as well. Also, those overseas who have listened and supported and continue to support Activate Radio Family Boston Mass, thank you as well. And to close out, I mean, I want to just first of all give my heartfelt condolences and thoughts and prayers to the family of Lyoya. Pray that his mother, father, and immediate family can find peace through this madness and through this, you know, nationwide case that's going to be in the media for the next few months. you know, is going to be on display, and everybody will be watching to see, you know, how this case is going to play out. Is there going to be any justice for this family, any different outcome for this family where, you know, there may have not been for others in the past? And then any amount of justice once a life is taken is still not going to bring back that life. And it just seems to be an attack on the black man, the young black man, and the black boy. And it's bothersome to me because even at my age, I realize and understand that I am even still a target. It could even be my son. It could be my nephew. It could be any one of us that are targeted by this system. And I feel as if there's an urgency for us as black men to stand up again as black men and to fight as we know how to fight and protect how we know how to protect, because right now we are the only ones that are being targeted. We are the only ones that are being killed without impunity. And I only gave you one example tonight of many that I ran across where there have been men who are of a different hue, who are of a different color, who have attacked police violently and still are able to have their day in court. Hell, even some who get treated to McDonald's, you know, and we as black men, armed or unarmed, are still considered a threat, you know. And if my cell phone is of danger to you, officer, I'm sorry, but I pay my bill every month, so I'm a tote that. You know, why is it that we can't reach in our pocket for our ID? Why is it that I can't walk down the street? Why is it that I can't sit in my living room and eat a bowl of ice cream? You know, why is it that my death and reasons for it is because of your accusation of me selling a loose-leaf cigarette? Does that require my breath and my life to be extinguished? You know, just because I stand 6'4", 240, and am fit, does that require my life to be extinguished? We're all not the big, bad black boogeyman. We have families. We love to be able to make it home at the end of the day to our families just like you do. We're no different from you. We just want to breathe. We just want to live. We just want to be able to provide for our children. We want to be able to go home and kiss our wives in the evening time as well. We want to go home and be able to enjoy a hot meal just like you do. There's no difference in what we want than what you want. The only difference in what we want is sometimes you can keep us from what we want. And until you have experienced that, until you have had that threat of your sanctity impeded by someone else who simply hates you because of who you are, you will never understand. And I think that as black men, it is essential that we take our places, first of all, and also we have to, like I said earlier in the show, provide that protection, provide that umbrella that is needed in order for our communities to be able to rebuild, and in order for our young black boys to be able to grow into young black men. And we have to show them what that entails. And in order for that to happen, we have to be strong black men. We have to draw on the strength of our ancestors. We have to draw on the strength of your inner self and knowing who it is that you were born to be, who it is you're intended to be. And with that being said, I appreciate you all for tuning in, listening. This has been The Big Picture. Like I always say in closing every week, it's time for us to plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. I appreciate you all. Peace, power, and love till next week.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, because everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, because ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see the big
policy. Somebody get paid just to polish it.
Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it.
For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids.
But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship.
Faced with adversity that some will never understand.
Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand?
Plan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty.
Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV.
Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet.
And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence.
I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see
the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern.
I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture.